Let's all stand together as we prepare to receive a word from the Lord. Speak, Lord, for your people are listening. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Close to thee, Lord, close to thee. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, we find these words. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I, Isaiah, said, here am I, send me. Lord, don't do it without me. You may be seated. On this past Friday, we experienced a sad occasion in funeralizing Quintavious Street Rainey, a young man who was just 21 years old, who was violently shot down in the streets of Macon, Georgia. My sisters and my brothers, this is becoming an all too familiar incident in our cities across the country, and we must never become too accustomed to this. I don't know all the details of the shooting, but this one thing I'm certain of. Quintavious was a very good young man. He had gone through our Sunday school classes and participated in our youth programs as a boy. But as most of us have done, he drifted away from the church as he got older. I'd forgotten exactly who he was because I had not seen him for a while, but when I saw him lying in the casket, my mind immediately saw the young, quiet, smiling boy that I would often hug and rub his head. My heart continues to ache for the parents and grandparents of Quintavious as they are forced to try to make sense of all this and why this has all happened. Church, let's continue to pray for and support the family, that they might find solace and peace and rest in rediscovering their lives without their dear son. During his funeral, his cousin, I'll call her Miss Curtis, I don't know her first name, Genevieve or something like that, and she gave remarks about his life and the kind of man she knew and loved. She shared of her experiences together when they were young and how they grew together into adulthood. Are you listening this morning? And in her concluding remarks, she told us of a song that Quintavious loved to hear. And she played just a few verses of that recorded song. Now, I've heard the song many times before, and it's certainly not one of my favorites. It's a simple song with a simple message. But as I listened to the song became strangely different to me. I did not just hear the rhythm and the rhyme of the song. I felt the spirit in the song. I didn't just hear the voices of the singers. Surprisingly and mysteriously so, I heard the voice of God. And in that brief moment, a message became very clear to me. I heard in that song the message that God has for the 21st century church. A message that sometimes gets lost in a Christian culture that majors in minors. a Christian culture that caters to the whims and will and sway of people's tendencies. A message that people try to avoid and not give full understanding to, because it requires something of us. I want you to listen to the words of the song and see if you can discern God's voice and hear his message for his church today. And if not, I'll try my very best to help you discern God's message as the Lord attempts to prepare his church for his soon return. You do remember that God is coming back again. I hope you haven't forgotten that the Lord is coming back soon and very soon. And God is trying to prepare the world through the church for his soon return. The song says this: Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Lord, if you're healing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Lord, if you're blessing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Does anybody hear the voice of God resonating through that song? A straightforward and simple and direct message that all of us can hear and relate to. And though we may hear it, we may not completely understand the depth and the meaning of the message. But prayerfully, before the end of this sermon, you'll begin to see, if you haven't already seen, how important it is for the church to grasp this all too important message. That is, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Is there anybody here who has that feeling and that desire in their heart that they might be used of the Lord? Let me say at the onset of this message that God never intended to do anything in the earth without the assistance of human beings. I know many of you guys don't believe that. You want God to do everything in the world. But God, when he created the heavens and the earth and placed man in charge of the earth, he put man and woman in charge so that they could have dominion over his earth. It was a gift that he gave to them. The Bible says that he gave Adam and Eve, who were humanity's first humans, dominion and control over everything he created. God then told them to be fruitful and multiply. Now, many of us think, this morning, listen very closely, we think that simply refers to them having babies. And some of us try to keep that command. That's what it means in part, but that's not what it means in full. God was saying to them, create, invent, discover, define, make beautiful the world that I have given to you. I've given you dominion over everything in the world. It's yours. It's my gift. I place you in charge of all that I've created. But the only thing that is necessary for you to do is to thrive and grow on this earth is that whatever I've given you, please don't do it without me. You have dominion. You can create anything your mind and heart can conceive from what I've given to you. You are created in my image. You can define your experience. But never try to do anything on this earth without me. Everything you do it for me. Everything you do, you offer it as a love gift to me. Whatever and whenever you do anything in this world, make sure it reflects my greatness and my glory and not yours. Whatever you do, do it for me. You're created in my image. I've placed you over this wonderful creation. You are my image bearers. And in order for you to praise me and glorify my name, you must recognize that you are extensions of who I am. You are little gods. You are many gods. You are created in my image. You possess my power to create and define. You have choice. You have will. I want you to take that choice and create for me a beautiful world. I've placed everything in the world that you need to make it beautiful. I did not complete the world. I did not name the animals. I did not build the televisions and the computers. And I did not invent cars. It's all in the DNA of my world. But now you take this world, and whatever you do it for my glory. And you know what happened. You know the story. Humanity rejected God and deliberately decided that they no longer needed nor desired to work with or for God. And they began to make decisions. We began to make decisions without God. Being tempted by the devil, Satan is his name, they chose to separate themselves from the love and the authority of God. And in doing so, death entered the world. In doing so, death, which was not created by God, but which was also a possibility if God was not in control, if God's instructions were not followed, if God's will was not performed to keep life and vibrancy in the earth, then if anybody else took charge of God's earth, they would not know how to handle it, and death would enter in. Death was not something that was thrust upon them. Death was a consequence of the world's first humans separating themselves from the source of knowledge and life. In other words, as long as they followed the Creator's instruction, the Creator told them how the world would take care of you and produce its bounty so that you might live happy, joyful, pain-free lives. But the moment you try to take over my creation that I've given you, that you don't know how it operates, and you try to do it your way, it will produce death. Fruitfulness will die, and death will rear its place. Bounty will cease to exist because the voice, the will, the plan of the Creator is not giving instructions. And the very moment you tried to take my world and do it on your own terms and in your own wisdom, it will not produce for you, therefore, death. So death entered the world. It had no choice but to enter the world because they had no knowledge of how to care for God's earth. They had no knowledge on how to bring out its beauty and its fruitfulness. They did not have the knowledge to know how to clothe themselves. God had to show them. So God in Genesis chapter 3 tells them how things are going to be. And in essence told them, now you're on your own. Before they sinned, they had all knowledge of God. They were connected with God. They had the knowledge and the power and the life, the knowledge that gave them life. And as long as they followed the instructions of God, they had life. But now they have no knowledge of living on earth without God. Therefore, death. The Bible clearly states that my people, hear me, perish because of a lack of knowledge. Adam and Eve, when they decided to make decisions on their own, separate and apart from God, they failed to connect with the knowledge of their creator, and death entered into the region of life and took control over all that God created. People perish because of the lack of knowledge. Sin entered into the world because of the lack of knowledge. They had to learn how to live on God's earth without God. And God comes to them in Genesis chapter 3 and tells them, cursed now is the ground because of you. You don't know how I incited this world to be formed and shaped and to produce fountain. So now, through your painful toil, not through my word, but through your painful toil, you're going to have to cajole and manipulate the earth through your blood, your sweat, and tears to produce fruit. And because you have now disconnected yourself from me, because you chose to live this world, in this world, my world, without me, you will surely die. As I was preparing this message, I thought about the prodigal son. And when we look at the story of the prodigal son that Jesus gave to them, it's a story of God's story from Genesis to Revelation. The story is a summation or broad generalization of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, from creation to redemption. And if you notice the story, we find that the prodigal son, who's living in his daddy's house, has everything given to him, everything provided for him. But he decided that he did not want to be a part of his father's business nor live under the authority of his roof. So he goes and lives on his own and tries to reproduce the kind of life that his daddy gave to him, but he couldn't do it. And tried as he would, he did not have the wisdom. There he is in the hog pen getting ready to die. But then he remembers what's going on in his daddy's house. Yes, everybody eats. Everybody is cared for, children and non-children. Anybody who's in my father's house, there is life. And so he goes back home, and the father opens his arms wide and accepts him back into his presence. And there he lives forever. That's the humanity story. That's the story from Genesis to Revelation. As the prodigal son existed in his father's house, having everything necessary for him, so did Adam. And Adam, along with the prodigal son, felt, mistakenly so, that the world would always be like that, no matter who's in charge. He thought, even if he did not have the father's authority, that he could live in a world like that. But little did he know, as the prodigal son had to learn, that in order to live in his father's house, you have to live under his father's rules. For the blessings of father's love guarantees a place of love and respect. Adam in the Bible, the word is Adam, which means humanity. So Adam is a kind of representative of all of humanity. As the prodigal son rejected his father's authority and in essence says, I don't need or want you, so did Adam / humanity. As a prodigal son selfishly wasted his father's money because he did not retain his father's love and knowledge, so did Adam / humanity. As a prodigal son faced inevitable death because of his ignorance and selfishness, so has humanity. But as the prodigal son came to himself, repented, and came back to the Father, so will humanity. As the Father joyfully received his son back as his son, so will humanity. And as the father had a great celebration upon the return of his son, so will there be a great celebration when all of God's children come back to the Father and live eternally with him and glory, praise his holy name. The story of the prodigal son is a story about God's redemption of mankind. And this is our story. But here's what I want you to see and understand. The addendum to the story is this. As the son learned that he could do nothing without the knowledge and instructions and the love of the Father, neither will we know how to do anything without God. We can do nothing in the world to bring lasting glory, lasting peace, lasting life without God. And when this happens, we will once again, when we all come together, we will once again, when God establishes his kingdom in glory, when the wicked shall cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest, when that time comes, when eternity will have no time and will enjoy heaven all together with God, then and only then we will once again begin to rule the earth as God intended in the beginning. So here's what I want you to understand. The earth was always meant to be ruled by human beings. That's right. God has given us rulership over all that he has created. But our sinfulness and sinful humanity has kept us from giving ourselves completely back to God so that the will of God could be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul says that the meaning that death reigned from the very beginning of time. He says, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin, breaking a commandment like Adam did. But there is coming a time when God shall redeem us and that he will once again give us charge over his earth. And he has already begun the process of restoring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And he began the process when Jesus began to preach his ministry and says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he began to heal sicknesses and cast out demons and to calm storms and to make the world like it should have been when God created, because he was the second Adam. He was like Adam, a sinless human being. And because sin couldn't control him, he was free to live on this earth as God intended for human beings to live. And so he died. He died. He died. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. He died for you. He died for me. He died so that we could once again be claimed as the sons and the daughters of the Almighty God. And Jesus was / is a man. Jesus, the man, came and he lived a perfect and sinless life. Jesus, the man, lived as Adam should have lived. Jesus, the man, lived his life like all of humanity is supposed to live. Jesus, the man, lived under the total control of God. All things he said and all things he did were under the power and the direction of the Almighty God who was his Father. And he, Jesus the man, he came to take God's earth back from the power of sin and Satan and restore it back to God so that God could once again rule the earth through human beings. That's why the Bible calls Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of all, because he will be king over the entire world. And we who believe in him and accept him will become citizens of the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God on earth. Yes. Now, as you perhaps noticed, I stressed the fact that Jesus was, and I'll say is, a man. Theologians call him the God-man, the man full of God, the man who was fully God and fully man, a man filled with all the divinity of God, as it says in the book of Colossians. He's filled with the fullness of God. Everything about Jesus is God. That's who Adam was before he sinned. Was filled with the fullness of God. He knew the will of God. He desired the purpose of God. He was completely connected to God. But one day he decided that he would make a decision against the plan of God because of his own sinfulness, arrogance, selfishness. But Jesus came and restored that relationship. And everybody who believes in and accepts Jesus becomes the child of God. Jesus is a man. Why am I stressing this? Because God gave human beings dominion over the earth. Not angels, but humans. Not dogs and cats and frogs and flies, but man. And he gave us dominion because he gave us something special that he didn't give any other aspect of his creation. He gave us his image. He breathed into us himself, and man became a living soul like God, created in his image. And what Christ has done for God is in his humanity is that he lived a complete life of obedience to God. He lived the life that we should have lived. And after living the life, he gave himself to God to defeat the powers of Satan and sin so that God could once again establish his kingdom on earth so that humanity, you and me, might one day rule the earth. We are, the Bible says, a royal priesthood. God has created us to be rulers of this world because of his love. And if humanity accepts Jesus and believes in him, we will be empowered once again with the Spirit of God. That's why on the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty wind, a mighty rushing wind. That was once again the breath of God that gives life. And on that day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came and once again enlivened the lives of humanity. And all who believe in Christ, all who accept Jesus, all who follow the teachings and the lifestyle of Jesus possess the presence of God and the power of God. And that brings me to my subject. I'm almost through now. Because we are now redeemed, renewed, because we no longer have to struggle and wrestle with sin, because we now have been freed from the shackles of sin to obey God, to do his will, to accomplish his task, now we have been assigned to do the work of establishing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And that began on the day of Pentecost. And little by little, year by year, season by season, individual by individual, God has been revealing his glory on the earth. God has been taking charge and taking over systems of sin. God has his people in place who speak and act and react to the world in such a way that brings forth the glory of God. And now, Lizzie Chapel, it's our turn. The purpose of the church is to restore God's goodness, God's beauty, God's love, and God's life back to the church. God did not save us just to go to heaven when we die. God saved us to do what he intended for us to do when he created Adam. And that is to let my work be seen and glorified. That's why it says, let your light shine, that men might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's why we were created. We are salt, that wherever we are and wherever we go, we are to do the work and the will of God. We are lights to reveal the glory of God. We are salt to season, preserve, to purify the earth. The world ought to be different because of us. And we can't change the world, but we can change the world and where we live. We can do God's work in our home. We can do God's work on the job. We can do God's work wherever we see the need to do the work of God. And if you ever want to know what God wants you to do, just look around and see what God is doing. And then join in the labor of doing the work and the will of God. Praise his holy name. Therefore, our sincerest and earnest prayer should be this. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Lord, if you're healing in this season, please don't do it without me. Lord, if you're blessing in this season, Lord, if you're saving in this season, Lord, if you're speaking in this season, Lord, if you're touching in this season, Lord, if you're building in this season, loving in this season, don't do it without me. So God continues in this day and time to call the Isaiahs of our day. Who will go for us? Who will be my light in darkness, God says? Who will comfort the poor and care for the sick, God says? Who can I send to speak and bring beauty to my world? Who will stand for injustice and impose unfairness wherever it's found in my world? Who will shelter the homeless? Who will help the disabled? Who will teach the ignorant and the uninformed? Who will love the unloved and be friends to those who are exploited and bullied by satanic systems of greed and deception? Who will tell a dying world that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Is there anybody here who has a passion for the Lord? Is there anybody here who wants to see the saving of souls, the healing of bodies, the blessings of God's power surging through your life and reaching and touching other lives? Is there anybody here not satisfied with being blessed, but desperately wants to be a blessing. Is there anybody here who can say, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Is there anybody here who loves the Lord enough to say, Lord, if you need somebody, here am I. Send me. Is there anybody here who's willing to go when you don't feel like going, to stand when you're too tired to stand, to speak when you don't have the words? Is there anybody here who loves the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength? Then to you, God is saying, will you go? And the only accepted response that God will have for you is, here am I, oh Lord. If you need anybody, send me. Here am I, oh Lord. If you need somebody to speak for you, here am I, send me. Lord, if you need somebody to bring beauty to the world, bring comfort to the sick, be a peacemaker in a world of war, here am I. Send me. For that's God's will for the church. That's God's will for your life. That's God's will for the church. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we humble ourselves before you now, thanking you for salvation, spirit, and gift. We pray, God, that you will lead us on our journey, not simply to receive blessings, but to be a blessing. We commit ourselves to you. If we have faltered along the way, we pray, oh God, that you would forgive us. If we missed the message and missed the opportunity to serve, we pray, oh God, that you would renew us and restore us back to our rightful place. For to thine be the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Inspire, anoint, save, deliver, gift, lift, uphold, and then send us out into the world. If you're doing anything in this season, please don't do it without me. Thank you, Quintavious, for bringing this message to us. Thank you, Lord, for this moment in the life of the church. Have your will now, in Jesus' name. Someone here today who is looking for a church home. We're not a terribly large church. We're not a mega church. But we have a mega spirit. We're not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. And maybe the Lord is tugging on your heart. And somehow this feels like home. To you, the Lord is saying, now is your time to come. And perhaps you don't know what's going on in your mind and in your soul at this time. It's called God's Holy Spirit. And He's calling you to step out in faith because you've never experienced this before. You never knew something like this was possible. And so we ask you to come and give your heart, your life, your soul to God as we journey up the King's highway in this business of life. If you're present today and you feel the need to come right now, today just come. There's nothing better.
There's nothing better.